says, and then all right, here we go. I hope you guys are all okay with that. As promised, we're going to take a look at the Mishnah in the at the beginning of the seventh parak, which is about the Kohen Gadol's public reading, and we're going to look at one particular nuance about it that we studied on Shabbat. And I'm going to follow the lead. Kurt made a suggestion, which I think is a very good suggestion, that we actually start the shiur with the essential Gemara that we're going to deal with, ask the questions, and then come back to it. I still kept the verses first because Tanakh comes first. I can't help it. But as far as the pedagogy, I think it's a good point. So we're going to start with the sugya. And here we go. The Mishnah, source 8, which is the beginning of the seventh parak, reads as follows: Balo Kohen Gadol Likrot. So when the Kohen Gadol comes to read the Torah, now this is a public Torah reading which is mandated. Is it mandated in the Torah? That's a good question. There's only one public reading that we know is mandated in the Torah, and that's what?
Hakel.
Right. But this we find an allusion to. In any case, the Kohen Gadol comes and does the reading. Roughly midday-ish, it's been about midway through the Avodot. So he can choose whether to wear big day, the special big day kona of Yom Kippur, or whether to have his own garments, and that we discussed that in the Gemara about whether you're allowed to wear big day kona not at the time of Avodah, related to Avodah. We discussed that, and that's not our main focus today. Chazana Knesset Notel, and that's why this is in small print. Chazana Knesset Notel Sefer Torah, and all the Rosh Knesset, and all the Skan, Skan, and all the Kohen Gadol. In other words, we have a big pomp and circumstance where the Sefer Torah is handed from lesser to greater person all the way till time to get to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Omeid Umekabel V'Korei Omeid V'Korei. It should be Omeid V'Korei Achrei Mot. All right, so Omeid Umekabel V'Korei Achrei Mot V'Ach Be'Asur. So the Kohen Gadol stands up. We talked about that. How could he be sitting down? It's the Azara. The answer is it's the Adrat Nashim, which is not really Azara. In any case, he reads Achrei Mot and Ach Be'Asur. Now, the first thing is he is publicly reading the entire section in Achrei Mot about Yom Kippur. That's the assumption. He reads the whole thing. And he's reading the small section in Parshat Emor about Yom Kippur. And the question is, why is he reading these things? Why is he reading them at all? And why is he reading both of them? After all, when we have the reading of Maftir on Yom Tov, we read one component of that Yom Tov. We don't read everything there is in the Torah about Shmini Atzeret or about Pesach of the Maftir. We read one thing from Pinchas. Here he reads both of these, and that's not all. He then rolls up the Sefer Torah and holds it against himself, against his chest. More than what I've read is actually written in here. And then, or Vikorealpe, two different versions. He reads then, which is in Pinchas, the Maftir. We use the Maftir. That's what he reads. Baal Peh. Now, there are several anomalies, some of the odd things going on here. The first thing is that there's some sort of need for him to read everything there is in the Torah about Yom Kippur, which is, by the way, these three things are the sum total of Yom Kippur and the Torah. The second thing is that he reads and then rolls from one section to another and continues reading, seemingly seamlessly. Sorry for that. But it seems to me that it's a seamless reading. And then he does this interruptive act of rolling the Sefer Torah and holding it up against himself. And then orally reading, meaning by memory reading, Be'asor l'chodesh hashvi, azeh yom kippurim hu, etc., which is the Maftir, and not reading it out of the book. All right? And the Mishnah doesn't give us reasons for any of these anomalies. Odd thing one, I want to point the questions out. Odd thing one is that he is reading every reading there is about Yom Kippur. Odd thing two is that he is jumping from reading to reading without reading all the stuff in the middle. Odd thing three, he is then reading a passage in Bamidbar orally outside of the text. Generally, we frown upon that. So those are the three questions I want to kind of put on the side. There's going to be more as we move along. Now, there are two Mishnayot. There's a Mishnah and a Tosefta, sorry, in Megillah that we have to look at for background on some of the issues here. A footnote about Megillah. You know, when Rebbe was putting together the various Masechtot of Mishnah, because up until Rebbe's time, Mishnayot were grouped. They were in Kvatsim based on topic or based on Beit Midrash, but they weren't organized with nearly the level of organization that Rebbe put together. And therefore, when Rebbe put Mishnayot together, he created a Seder, like Seder Moed, which Yoma is in. And in Moed, he selected Shabbat and Eruvin to be first, and they're very big, medium Masechtot, Psachim, which is maybe two Masechtot put together. And as you roll along, you will find that the Masechtot, and it happens in every Seder, the Masechtot become much smaller. The reason they become much smaller is because every broad topic has general rules that apply all across the board. So the rules that apply to Shabbat, as far as Melacha goes, also apply to Pesach, and also apply to Yom Kippur, and also apply to Sukkot, and also apply in Beitzah, which is Yom Tov. All those rules apply, with the exception of Ochel Nefesh. Okay, so Beitzah is focused on Ochel Nefesh, but the rest of the stuff is the same. And so therefore, the sum total of what has to be taught in each Masechet gets smaller because the general rules have already been presented. And it becomes more detailed and specific, but no reason to repeat the general. The second thing is that typically the Masechtot towards the end of any Seder are very specificated, and as a result of that, very small. So you go from Shabbat that has 39 Melachot and has Tchum and has Shvut and has Toldot and all this big stuff, Eruvin, which really includes two things, Eruvin, Tchumin, and Eruvin Chatzerot, Psachim, which is in Korban Pesach, and Chametz and Matzah, these huge topics, and you end up with Ta'anit, which is Sach HaKol about how to arrange fast days when it's not raining, and you have Chagigah, which is the Korbanot you bring on the Regel, which we've already talked about the Regalim a lot, and Moed Katan, which is about Chol HaMoed, which sort of fits in between Yom Tov and not Yom Tov. And as a result of that, these Masechtot are very small. They're so small. How small are they, Johnny? They're so small that if they were left to their size, they would disappear. I'm not making it up. It is something Chazal say about Tanakh. Chazal asked the question in Masechet Bava Batra, why the 12 books that comprise the Shneimasar, the Treyasar, were put into one book, meaning one scroll. If you go to a place where they have the Haftarot in a cloth, you will see that there's a book, a scroll of Yeshayahu, a scroll of Yirmiyahu, a scroll of Yechezkel, a scroll of Shmuel, Malachim, and a scroll, Treyasar. It's one scroll. And you read Hosea, and then there's three lines skipped, and you read Yoel, and three lines skipped, and Amos, etc. Why are they all there? Because since each one of these books is so small, if you were left alone, it would disappear. It would be forgotten, be lost. Aidi de Zutar Irchas. And the same thing happened here. So Rebbe engaged what Chokrim like to refer to as ibui hamasechet, fattening up a masechet. And you see it in every masechet at the end of a Seder. You see it in Oral and Bikurim. You see it in Moed Katan and Chagigah and Megillah and Tanit a little bit. You see it in Kiddushin, the Gadol Kiddushin is about all sorts of other things. You see it in a little bit in at the end of Nezikin, right? That's the nature of these things. And that's something Rebbe deliberately designed. Why am I mentioning that? Because Masechet Megillah, if someone were to ask you, what's Masechet Shabbat about? You would say it's about Shabbat. Melechet Shabbat and lighting candles, a whole parak about that. And Chazara, there's a whole parak about putting things back on top of a heated place or in a heated place. All that. If I were to ask you, what's Megillah about? You would certainly say it's about Purim. And you'd certainly be half right and only half right. And because Purim is such a small topic, there is only a half a mention in any of the Mishnayot about Mishloach Manot Seudam Matanot Evyonim. Tiny Esther doesn't exist in the times of the Talmud. All there is Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah. As a result of that, there's lots and lots of Mishnayot that are about tangential related things that are in there to beef the Masechet up, and it's an opportunity to put things in that didn't have anywhere else. So one of them is the famous Ein Bein tangents, if you remember, in the first parak, all the Ein Beins. But another one is, what is Megillah very much like? What is the reading of the Megillah? What other ceremonial act do we have that Megillah is like? Hit your mic and tell me. What other thing do we do that is similar to Mikra Megillah? We open a scroll and one person reads and everybody else follows.
Echa.
Echa, not mandated in the Gemara, in the Mishnah of the Gemara. Simple, you're overthinking it. It's simple.
What about reading the book of Ruth on Shavuot?
You're still overthinking it. You guys are great and you're too great.
Haftarot, Haftarot, the Rishabat.
Yeah, now you're almost there. Come on, somebody say it.
Simple laning of the Torah.
Yeah, laning. Yeah. The Torah. Now, excellent. Fine that we got there. We needed one of our Kohanim to do that. Now, where are the laws of Kriyat HaTorah found? The answer is they're found in Megillah. And you see why. They're found in the Mishnah Megillah, and in the Tosefta Megillah, and in the Badli Nushalim Megillah, because Masechet Megillah has a whole section devoted to Kriyat HaTorah. Which Kriyot we do on which special days, how many Aliyot there are each time that we have a reading, what are the special rules of it. Okay, so I just want to give you that as a reference point, why that's here. So now back to our text. The Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, in the fourth parak. By the way, you know that Megillah, we have the switcheroo. The first, the parak 3 and 4 get switched in the Bavli. Parak 3 and 4 in the Yerushalmi are 3 and 4, and the Mishnah is 3 and 4. In the Bavli, it's switched. So parak 4 becomes parak 3. But the last parak of Megillah in the Mishnah, HaKoreh BaTorah Lo Yivchot Mishlosha Psukim, source 9. If when you're reading, you cannot read less than 3 psukim. Hard and fast rule. Lo yikra la torgeman yoter mipasuk echad. Now you remember that when they would read Torah and Nevi'im, meaning the Haftarah, they would have a torgeman who would simultaneously, shall we say, in response, like a recitative, antiphonally, would translate what was read into the vernacular, typically Aramaic. So now you can't feed the Torgaman more than one pasuk, which means you read one pasuk, even if it's Vayidaber Adonai Moshe L'Emor, Atarot V'Divon, whatever, however small it might be, let him do his Targum and then go to the next pasuk. You don't feed him more than one. Uvanavi Shlosha, when you're doing the Haftarah, you can give him 3 at a time if you want, up to 3. Imayush Shloshtam Shalosh Parshiot Korim Echad Echad. But if each one of those 3, and we have a Haftarah like this, we're a separate Parsha, meaning in the cloth, when you look at it, there's a space after each one, and you have that in your Yishayahu Nun Bet. Then, Korim Echad Echad, you have to read them separately. Okay, now here's the part we care about. You see it because it's highlighted. Midalgim Banavi. We're allowed to skip around in the Nevi'im, meaning to go from passage to passage, skipping a passage. Ve'ein Midalgim BaTorah. We're not allowed to do that in the Torah. All right?
Rabbi, Rabbi, this is referenced in our current Gemara in Roma, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to give us the base material before we see it in the text, right? So this is the Mishnah. Remember that when the Chachamim were having the discussion that we're reading in Yoma, they already knew this. So I want us to come armed with the same information. So that means that when you're reading publicly, you're reading a Haftarah, you're allowed to skip over a few psukim to get to another passage, not in Torah. By the way, when do we violate this on a regular basis? A regular meaning a few times a year that we lane, and in the laning we skip. So the truth is that a Levi may be best set to tell us this, because it is between the first and the second Aliyah on a fast day. Read Vayichal, which is from chapter 32 in Shmot. And then we skip all of chapter 33, and we start from the beginning of 34 for the next Aliyah and for the third Aliyah. All right, so we do skip. All right, so how do we justify it? That's a problem. V'ad kamahu mendaleg, meaning when you're skipping in the Nevi'im, how much do you skip? Ad kadei shalayef siko turgaman. Not so much so that there'd be what we call in the world of radio, dead air. In other words, You can skip, meaning you're rolling the text to get to the next thing, as long as the Turgaman's still translating the previous pasuk. So you're presenting pasuk, the end of Perek Bet in Yirmiyahu. We do this, by the way, the Shabbat, the middle of the 3 weeks. We have the Haftarah, which is the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, and it ends on a real bummer note. And so we skip to a little later in Yirmiyahu with a positive pasuk. The Sfardim go here, the Ashkenazim go there, but everybody ends and we skip. How much are you allowed to skip? You're allowed to skip enough so that while you're rolling the scroll, the Turkoman's still talking. But you can't skip so much that you're still rolling when he's finished.
But are there not haftarot where you don't skip Sukkim, you skip to an entirely different Navi?
Oh, we're going to see that right now. Excellent. Okay, and that's the
Micha is after somebody or other.
Yeah, here we go. Good. So the Tosefta, quoting Sherwin, says, Medalgin b'Navi, ve'im medalgin b'Torah. Now, we saw that already in the Mishnah. You're allowed to skip in the Navi. You're not allowed to skip in the Torah. Ve'im medalgin b'Navi l'Navi. You can't skip from Yirmiyahu to Yishayahu. You can't skip from Shmuel to Malachim. You can skip within Sefer Shmuel, within Sefer Yirmiyahu. All right?
Uv'Navi.
Now, Shneimasar medalgin. You're allowed to skip. And this goes back to what I mentioned a few minutes ago. You're allowed to skip within Treyasar. Uvilvad shelo yidaleg or yadlig misof hasef for the rosho, as long as you don't go backwards. In other words, if you're going to skip in Treyasar, you got to skip in order. And that's exactly what we do on Shabbat Shuva. Shabbat Shuva, the Minhag Ashkenaz, is to read from three of the Nevi'im of Treyasar. Hosea, Shuva Yisrael, Adonai Elohecha, Ki Chashalta, B'Avonecha. Then we go to Yoel, Tiku, Shofar, B'Tzion, right? And then we read from Micha, Miel Kamocha, right? We do the same thing on Yom Kippur. We read all of Sefer Yonah, and then we read Micha. Now, if you open up your Tanakhim, you will see that the order of the first six of the 12 is Hosea, Yoel, Amos, Ovadia, Yonah, Ovadia, Micha. So whenever we're skipping in order, meaning we're going to later. We're not going backwards. All right? So we fulfill this criterion. We do not fulfill this rule when it comes to Tanit Tzibur, but our bigger question is the Kohen Gadol. He's skipping in order, but it said you can't skip in the Torah at all. So this is a little bit difficult. Okay, let's get to the Gemara. Now, because part of what we're trying to do in this series is methodology, I did the following. On source 11, you see the entire sugya without any punctuation, without any differentiation or anything. You will see it further down, or if you download it in front of you, you can see it. But we're going to break it up and show how the sugya works, but let's just take a look at it right now. The Korei Achrei Mod V'ach Be'asor. Right, which means he skips from Vayikra 16 to Vayikra 23. Now, I promise you, with most Sifrei Torah, you can do that pretty quickly. In other words, if somebody's doing a Targum, or you're calling somebody else up for an Aliyah and giving him a Mishaberach or something, by the time you're done, you could be at the second place. They're very close. But you got to remember that the Kohen Gadol is the only one reading. There's no new Bracha. There's no Mishaberach, that's for sure. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and we don't hear about him at Turgaman, but nonetheless, the Kohen Gadol is skipping. Or Minhi, we challenge that.
You're saying it doesn't take long to roll the scroll to the next
reading. Right, because they're quite proximate.
Yeah.
Right. Or Minhi, Medalgim b'Navi ve'in Medalgim b'Torah. They challenge it from our Mishnah, as Kurt pointed out. Our Mishnah says you're not allowed to skip in the Torah. So lo kasha, we're going to resolve that challenge, which is, in other words, when it says you're not allowed to skip in the Torah, that's to create dead air. What's dead air? Dead air is the guy finished the Targum and you're still rolling. That you're not allowed to do. Now, by the way, notice that all of this is premised on one notion, which is you can never read Torah orally. You can never read Torah by heart. And therefore, the only way to read the next section you're skipping to is to roll to that section, right? That's an important premise to put on the table. And so the Gemara answers this by saying, oh, that's not a question. When do we say that you cannot skip? That's when it'll create dead air. But you may skip if it won't create dead air. But is that true? V'ha'alaktani, on that statement, we said, Medalgim ben Avi ve'in medalgim al Torah v'ad kam medaleg v'chtei she'av sikha turgaman. What about the rest of the Mishnah? The rest of the Mishnah that said you may, can skip in the Navi, that's only enough to there's no dead air. And you still can't skip in the Torah, which means you can't skip in the Torah even if there is no dead air. So we haven't answered anything. Ha b'Torah klal klalo. You can't skip in the Torah at all. How is the Kohen Gadol skipping around? Amar Abaye lo kasha, kan b'inyan echad, kan b'shnei inyanim. Abaye suddenly throws in a new criterion, a new distinction, which the Mishnah Tosefta didn't make. The Mishnah Tosefta, the Tosefta, made a distinction of Chief Soka Turgaman, Shaloiv Soka Turgaman. Okay. Abaye throws in a new idea, which is if it's the same topic, you're allowed to skip. So let's put it all together. According to Abaye, what's the rule? If I'm laning, I can lane and skip as long as I don't keep dead and create dead air. I can skip to something which is the same topic, like Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. I can't skip to Bamidbar because that'll create dead air. That's too much rolling. But I can skip here. And that means the Navi, I could skip from topic to topic as long as there's no dead air. All right, good. Let's keep that in mind. Vahatanya, and now Vahatanya, as Rashi points out here, we'll see later, this Vahatanya usually represents a challenge. Did we not learn in a Braita? But in this case, and in dozens of other cases in the Gemara, it actually means as we learned in a Braita, support. Medagin b'Torah b'inyan echad. You're allowed, this is a Braita, you're allowed to skip in the Torah as long as it's the same topic. U'v'navi b'shnei inyanim, right? And Navi, you can go from topic to topic. Kan v'chan b'chtei shelo yafsika turgaman, as long as there's no dead air. Again, you understand what I mean by dead air? That you fed the turgaman and he's now reading it in Aramaic, and while he's reading it, you roll into the next spot, and then you pick it up seamlessly, right? V'ein medalgim in Navi l'Navi, Navi sh'shtem asar medalgim v'ad shalai yidaleg misof ha'sev v'tchilato, the rule we saw about Nevi'im and Treyasar. Okay, now, that's part one, and part one still is a little unsatisfying. Why is it that we're not allowed to skip in the Torah mi'inyan le'inyan? By the way, if we read the Torah straight through, we're skipping from topic to topic. We're talking about a mitzvah, and then suddenly we're talking about a zav. We're talking about a woman giving birth, and then we're talking about Aaron and his sons dying on Yom HaShmini. I'm just taking a couple of examples from Vayikra. So we are skipping from topic. So why are we allowed to skip text and go topic to topic? You have to stay on the same topic. What does that mean? And now the bigger one is the Kohen Gadol has to make this odd statement, which is more than I've read before you is written in here. V'cholkach lama, why does he have to make that statement? K'dei shelo tzilaz al sefer Torah. Now, you hear that phrase because it sounds strange, but it turns out that it's the backbone of our sugya, as you'll see. I mean, sort of. To not besmirch the reputation of this Sefer Torah. In other words, the Kohen Gadol picks up the Sefer Torah, rolls it, picks it, and holds it, and says, what I just told you is not everything. There's more that's in here, and that's this, and says it orally, says it by heart, which is the part in Bamidbar. Why does he have to say that? Why can't he just hold it and say it by heart? So people should know that this Sefer Torah is a kosher Sefer Torah, a perfectly fine Sefer Torah, and so that, and they'll know that it's written in there, but for whatever reason, he's not rolling to there, not reading. We're going to find out what that's about. Why are we so concerned with the reputation of a Sefer Torah? And by the way, this is a big topic, and we're going to see it come up again in a few minutes. The reputation of a Sefer Torah, pagam of a Sefer Torah. I understand when we talk about, we've got a couple of Kohanim here. I understand when we talk about a Kohen. So we say that that you call up a Kohen, who do you have to call up next? Who do you call him next?
Levi.
What if there's no Levi? What do you do? It belongs to the tribe, so you give it to a Kohen, right? Why don't you call up another Kohen? There's five Kohanim in the room. It's our shiur. You got five Kohanim in the room. You call up Sherwin for the first Aliyah. We got no Levim here, so why can't I call up Abe for the next one?
Wasting time.
You besmirch the second person because he wasn't selected first.
And so The halakha says the same thing inverted.
If I were to call the first coin,
it'd be like we suddenly realized the first guy's not a real coin. Oh, we better get a real coin. Now, There I understand it, because we're concerned about your reputation, both for your own personal gain and for the value of your family and your children and everything else. People should know these are proper Kohanim and nobody's challenged their kahuna. Nobody's challenged the yichas. I get it. Why do we do the same thing about a Sefer Torah? Just keep that in mind. We're going to address it. Okay. Now, we said here that that he then reads this section, Baal Peh. Amai. Why does he read Baal Peh? Niglol v'nikre. He should roll it. Roll that Sefer Torah and then read from Bamidbar. By the way, how long would it take to roll from Emor to Pinchas? A few minutes. Mm-hmm. A few minutes. It wouldn't take an hour, but it wouldn't take 5 seconds either. With any Sefer Torah in the world, it would not take an hour, but it would not take 5 seconds. It would take a few minutes, depending on the Sefer Torah, who's rolling it, etc., but it would take a little bit of time. All right. Amar Rav Huna, Beredu Rav Yoshua, Amar Rav Sheshet, Lefi She'en Gololin Sefer Torah B'tzibur. We are not allowed to roll a Sefer Torah publicly. Why? Mipnei Kvod Tzibur. Because it's a lack of dignity for the Tzibur. Now notice, we're playing with all sorts of dignity here. The dignity of the Sefer Torah, which we have to be careful about. The dignity of the Tzibur. What's the dignity of the Tzibur here? You know, I understand the dignity of the Sefer Torah, though I don't understand why I care about it. But I understand the dignity of the Sefer Torah of saying, don't think the Sefer Torah is missing something. It's not. It's all in there. I'm reading it Baal Peh. So why aren't you rolling it to there? Because I also concerned the dignity of the community. Where's the dignity being bestowed?
Making them wait.
Exactly. Exactly. Dead air is a terrible abuse of people's time. I'm going to make you stand around and wait while I roll. That's not nice. By the way, is our common practice that happens if we are making a minyan at a hotel or a bar mitzvah at somebody's, you know, retreat, and there's only one Sefer Torah, and it happens to be Shabbat Rosh Chodesh? What do we do? What's the common custom that everybody does? We roll against this rule. We roll. We read, imagine Shabbos, Hanukkah, Rosh Chodesh, and there's one Sefer Torah. So we read Miketz, then we roll to the end of Bamidbar too. Then they roll back to Naso Bayom HaShishi. And we roll and people wait. I want to see about that. Okay. So, Veneta Achrina Venikre. So, by the way, what's our solution that we normally do when there's two readings from different places? What do? Two Sifrei Torah? I know, because I have the cards. I have cards that say Pticha Bet. I have cards that say Pticha Gimel. Right? That's as much as we get. Right? So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Pgamo Shel Rishon. Again, we're concerned with the reputation of the Sefer Torah. What's going to happen if the Kohen Gadol reads from Sefer Torah number one, and it puts it down, and they bring out Sefer Torah number two, and he reads from that? We're concerned people are going to say what? So think about what's wrong with the first one. No, come on, we're like driving ourselves crazy. And doing all sorts of things, including doing something that's unheard of, which is to read without the text, to read by heart, in order to avoid, lo aleinu, besmirching the reputation of the Sefer Torah. Nobody should think the Sefer Torah is missing something. Nobody should think that they suddenly found it's pasul, so they had to bring another one out. So we roll and we read Baal Peh. So we've got all sorts of rules crashing against each other. Rule number one, we do not read by heart. Rule number two, we do not replace a Sefer Torah with another one. Rule number three, we do not roll excessively while people are waiting. And these rules now collide because we've got some other consideration that we don't understand what it is, which is the Kohen Gadol has to read everything under the sun there is to say about Yom Kippur and the Torah, including readings that are far from each other. And which rule actually takes the back seat here? You know, we got a collision of four different rules, and they can't all coexist. We can't read everything about Yom Kippur and read everything from the text and keep it in one Sefer Torah and not roll it. Those don't sit together in one world of reality. So which one has to take a back seat and steps out? Which one do we violate?
Rolling.
No, we don't roll. We keep that rule. Which one do we sits out? We read by heart. Which is odd because in our world, that's the very last thing that we would do. Well, we read by heart. All right. So now let's just test this thing for a moment. Rish Lakish Amar Mishum Bracha Shein Atzricha. He has a different reason. You know why we don't bring out a second Sefer Torah? Is because then the Kohen Gadol would have to make another bracha on it, and that bracha is really unnecessary. But we're not going to focus on that opinion of Rish Lakish here. We want to finish the issue of the pgam. Umi chashin on the pgama. Now, the language here is tricky. Mi chashin on the pgama means, since when are we concerned about a pgam, meaning a bad reputation of the Sefer Torah? Well, and that's really not a question, because we know we are. Because after all, why is it that we... that he had to say the Sefer Torah has this in it? Because, well, of course, we're all concerned with the Sefer Torah's reputation. We have to figure out why. What they mean is, why are we so overly concerned about it that we think that if we bring out a second Sefer, it's going to say something bad about the first? That's not our practice. Again, what do we do every Yom Tov? How many Sefer Torah do we bring out every Yom Tov? We bring out two. And nobody sits there and says, ooh, the second one they brought out because the first one turns out is faulty and now they're replacing it. And the Kaddish is a Kaddish Yosom for bad Sefer Torah, making a joke. But nobody thinks that.
No, but maybe it's a different era, Rabbi, now than it was then. Now, back then, probably much less Sefer Torah. And today we have more Sefer Torah. So it would be the Chashash would be so much.
Okay, so they give a different answer. I mean, that's an interesting possibility. But they right away on the spot recognize that that's not our practice. Our practice that we have today was their practice then, as you see. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha. Yitzchak Napacha says, Rosh Chodesh Tevet. What's Rosh Chodesh Tevet? It's Rosh Chodesh and also?
Hanukkah.
So right away there's two readings. Shechal Liot B'Shabbat. My Avi had his Bar Mitzvah. Rosh Chodesh Tevet Shechal Liot B'Shabbat. How many secret order do we bring out?
Three.
Mevin shalosh torot v'korein achat be'inyano shel yom. One is the parsha. V'achat shel rosh chodesh. By the way, the word tevet appears in no manuscripts that I could find. I don't know how it got into Vilna print, but you can see it's in parentheses. Doesn't belong there. Doesn't make any sense. Rosh chodesh tevet doesn't have a special reading. It's a rosh chodesh reading. V'achat shel chanukah. So you have three Sefer Torah. Nobody's saying, ooh, your second Sefer Torah is besmirching the first and the third is besmirching the second. And now we got two Sefer Torah that have bad reputations. Nobody says that. So the answer they give is interesting. Plata Gavri v'plata Safri Lake Up Gama. If you have three people from three Sefarim, meaning you call up one guy and he reads Shishi. You call up another guy and in the second Sefer Torah they bring him and he reads Rosh Chodesh. And you call up another guy, and with the third Sefer Torah, he reads Chanukah, there's no pgam. Chad gavra betray safri ikap gama. But to have one guy and two sfarim, there's a pgam. Why? Because this guy made a bracha on a Sefer Torah, and then they're picking it up, rolling it up, and taking another one out. It looks like the first one's no good. Okay, I kind of get that, but I'm still wondering, why are we so concerned with the pgam of a Sefer Torah? Again, I'm not ready yet to compare it to the pgam of a human being. A human being, you put a pgam on them, you stain them and their children and anything that they might have done and all sorts of stuff. Here it's Sefer Torah, so you're gonna claim it's pasul. Fine, it's not pasul, but why are we so concerned? So we have to see why. And I'm gonna suggest that all of these halachot of reading by heart, of not rolling betzibur, of not skipping around, are all anchored in one principle. All right? Good. So now let's take a look. All right. First thing is, let's take a look at the Talmud Yerushalmi. Now, what I'm showing you here is a page from the printed version of Ktav Yad Leiden, of the one, I've introduced it to you many times, of the one complete manuscript we have of the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's not a perfect manuscript. It's got a lot of issues. And the Academia, the Lashon Ivrit, put out a, it's available online, put out a tatik, meaning a transcribed version of that manuscript. And this is what it looks like, right? Taman Taninan, right? Now, notice the Yerushalmi goes in the same direction as the Bavli, which is, it quotes the Mishnah and Megillah. Medalgin b'navi ve'ein medalgin b'torah, medalgin b'navi, ve'ein medalgin b'navi l'navi. All right, we're allowed to skip the Navi and not in the Torah, and we're not allowed to skip from Navi and Navi, v'navi shel shtem asar mutar. Okay, good. So they quote the whole Mishnah. Ein medalgin ba-Torah. We're not allowed to skip in the Torah, right? So how is the Kohen Gadol going from Achrimot to Amor? And we have a strange answer. He says, because we do not roll the Sefer Torah b'Rabim. It doesn't really explain the topic unless you're saying, you know why we're not allowed to skip in the Torah? Because you're not allowed to roll the Sefer Torah publicly. And in order to roll, you'd have to roll, which would then solve everything, which says, but if you're only skipping in the same column, then you're not rolling and it's not a problem. Maybe. Rabbi Yossi Ba'e. So Rabbi Yossi asked the following question. Hagatz v'chashay ta parshak tana. Right? What if it is just a small parasha where you're not rolling anything? So why is there a problem with Midalgin according to you, Rish Lakish? Ela kedei shiyishmu'u Yisrael Torah al Seder. You hear that? Am Yisrael should hear the Torah in order. If you're skipping, you're not reading for them in order. So now, this sugya is not a sugya of Yoma, it's a sugya of Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says you're not allowed to skip in the Torah. The question is why? Rish Lakish said you can't skip in the Torah because you're not allowed to roll publicly. So Rabbi Yossi says, that's fine. That doesn't explain why you can't skip a few lines. And the reason you can't skip a few lines is so that Am Yisrael should hear the Torah in order. V'hataninan, we have a Mishnah in Megillah, in Yoma, Kore Achremot V'ach Be'asor, the Kohen Gadol skips. Shanyahi Shui Sidro Shal Yom. What's their answer? What was Rabbi Yossi's whole reason? Why should we not skip in the Torah? Because you want to hear the Torah in order. Why does the Kohen Gadol read this? And this answers our first question, why he has to read all of these readings. Because this is Seder Shal Yom. What is he reading? He's reading all the topics of Yom Kippur, which, by the way, is exactly what Abaye's answer was in the Bavli. What did Abaye say? You're allowed to skip in the Torah in one topic, as long as the same topic. And in the V, you could skip from topic to topic. After all, think about this. We have a general rule that you're not allowed to read Baal Peh. You can't read without the text in front of you. And here he does. It must be that there's this consideration of he has to read the whole Seder Shal Yom. And then there's all those other considerations that come in that you're not supposed to skip, but this is a small skip that won't make them wait. You can't skip further and you can't roll publicly, so there's a Baal Peh. In other words, this principle of Seder Shal Yom seems to ride roughshod over all the other rules. We have to see why. Rabbi Yosei Mafked Levarula Chazana de Knishta de Bavloi. Now, this is an interesting institution. I want to talk for a minute about it. In Israel, there was a Beit Knesset Shal Bavlim. By the way, you can see Batek Beit Knesset Shal Olei Iraq. I'm sure that some of Rina's relatives are there. Beit Knesset Shal Olei Iraq in Yerushalayim. Right, and by the way, you see in Yerushalayim lots of things. You see, of course, the Vizhnitzer Beis Medrash and the Belzer Beis Medrash. These are people who came from other places in Europe. They were all born in Israel, but their ancestors did. But this happened in the times of the Talmud. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a Beit Knesset Shel Bavlim in Tveria, Babylonians. And this guy was the Chazan, the Shamish of the Shul. And he said, Kadehi chada uriya te gayala lahari paruchta. If you have one sefer, Chada Uraya, one Torah, then roll it in the parochet. Kad inu tarte, if you have two sfarim, taimei b'chado maite chada, put one away and bring the other one out. In other words, we read from two sfarim, so that's totally legit. Okay. The end of this passage in Yerushalmi, which is just some interesting thing for you to look at on your own, gives us a little bit of the text of those eight brachot that Kohen Gadol says. Not our concern right here. Continuing with trying to figure out what's going on with this whole skipping thing. Masechet Sofrim, which is one of what we call the Masechtot Ktanot. These are 8th and 9th centuries, 8th and 9th century compilations made in, very likely in Byzantium, but they included much material of Eretz Yisrael. And Masechet Sofrim is really about both writing a Sefer Torah, but it's also about a lot of synagogue practice. Medalgin ben Navi ve'in medalgin betorah. Why? Lefin shegolin Navi b'rabim ve'in golin sefer Torah b'rabim. Look at that. You're allowed to skip the Navi and you're not allowed to skip in Torah because you're allowed to roll the Navi publicly. You're not allowed to roll the Sefer Torah publicly. Whoa. Why are you allowed to roll the Navi publicly but not the Sefer Torah? Either way, you're making people wait. Let's see this. This is exactly what Shalmi we just saw. Ah, but this is exactly what Shalmi. After all, we skip in the Torah, our Mishnah. The answer is that's the Seder Shal Yom. And how do I know that we're supposed to violate the normal rule for this reading in Yom Kippur? Because we know that you're not allowed to read Baal Peh, and here he reads Baal Peh. In other words, reading these three passages about Yom Kippur is so vital that it runs over the other rules. Okay. Well, what's going on here? And the Pgam Sefer Torah, and you can't read Baal Peh. All of these rules, we got to figure out. So that's what we're going to do here. And we're going to end by looking at the sugya again here on the last page. Still get it broken down. But let's look at a couple of other sources. First of all, we all know, we've all grown up with it. It's our mother's milk. You do not read Torah without a text in front of you. We all know that. Every kid who's out of bar mitzvah has been tortured to learn how to point the pointer at the words and read from the words, right? And there's always been the shamish of the shul or somebody else who, when he sees that the kid is reading from memory, he warns him, you better look at the words, right? Because the kid is at the bottom of the column and he's continued to read, even though he hasn't moved his eyes up, because he knows the next words, because he's gone over it 400 times. Read from the text. Where was that from? It's a Gemara in Masachet Gittin. It comes from an interesting place. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani mitur Gemane de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So it was Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's Amora, his spokesman, who said, Ktiv k'tov l'chata dvari ma'ilem. This is in Kitisa. Hashem says to Moshe, write down these words. Write down these words. Ktiv k'al pi dvari ma'ilem karati t'chav rid v'in Yisrael. Because based on the words, of these words, I've made a brief, but Alpi alludes to Baal Peh, Ketzad. So are the words of the Torah supposed to be written or are they supposed to be orally transmitted? Ketzad, Dvarim Shebichtav Yata Rishai Lomran Alpeh. Things that are written, you are not allowed to do say by heart. What do you mean not allowed to? I can't say right now, Breshit Bar Limit Toshmai Mataretz. What does that mean? Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yatana. Watch the language. It's very tricky. It's tricky. Dvarim shebal peh iata rishai leomran bichtav. Dvarim shebal peh meaning things that are transmitted orally. You're not allowed to do what? What is that phrase? Leomran bichtav. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you write can't. It. What?
Write it down? No.
But it doesn't mean that. That's what I would expect. I would expect him to say iata rishai lechotvan. That's what I would expect. Dvarim shebal, and that's the famous thing, writing Torah shebal peh is a violation of this. Maybe not. What does Iyata Rishai Le'omran Bichtav means? What does that mean? It seems like it means you cannot say them from a text. Meaning, the written Torah, you have to say from a text. And Torah Shebaal Peh, you can't say from a text. That's what it seems to say. Okay. Now, the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah talks about the Kriyat HaTorah. He says, HaKorei Yeshlo L'daleg Makom L'Makom Binyan Achad. Now, by the way, notice what the Rambam does here. It's beautiful. He says that when somebody's laning, they can skip from one item to another as long as it's the same topic. Kegon Acharemot V'ach V'asor Shbishat Manemor L'Kohanim. Like, the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur skip. But like means you could do other things like that. Like we do on a Tanit Tzibur. Because, by the way, the Tanit Tzibur is a single roll. It doesn't take any action. I could do it in one aliyah if need be, without any. You could just open the Sefer Torah wide. You could just, our eyes could skip. Nobody would have to wait at all. And it's exactly one topic. God forgiving the Jewish people for the Egel. It reads seamlessly, by the way. V'hu shelo yikra al peh. You're allowed to skip as long as you don't read by heart. Sha'asur likrot shalom minachtav afilu tevachat. You're not allowed to read without the benefit of the text in front of you, even one word. You can't wait while you're rolling or skipping unless it's while the Turgaman is doing his thing. In other words, no dead air. Okay. The tour, right? Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim, 14th century. Midalgin ben Aviv ein midalgin batorah, source 16. Perish shelo yidaleg mi parsha zula parsha acheret, vanimil mishtein yanim. Right? In the Torah, you're not allowed to skip from topic to topic. He gives a reason here. We didn't see it before. Because we're concerned that the listeners are getting confused. Because you're suddenly talking about a new topic. There we go. Shekoin gadol korev yom ha-kippurim. Sheshnehem minyan achad midolgin. But when it's one topic, like achrei mot and achbe asor, that the Kohen Gadol reads, and they're on one topic, you could skip. Uvenavi, etc., and you could skip as long as you don't make them wait. V'chein, notice, similarly, ein golin sefer Torah v'tzibur ne'ek kvot ha'tzibur. Not a role sefer Torah because of kvot ha'tzibur. All right? And the same halacha, right there with the Torah, is you're not allowed to call one person up to read from two sefer Torah because it looks like the first one has now been disqualified. All right? But you could have numerous people with numerous sefer Torah. That's all fine. The Beit Yosef here, I'm just going to sum up. The Beit Yosef here, asked the question about what happens when you only have one Sefer Torah and there is a day when you have to do multiple readings from different places, right? And so I'll just show you here, he quotes the Ritva, the Rashba and the Tshuva. The Rashba, Shlomo ben Adrat, was asked, Rosh Chodesh Shachal Liyot B'Shabbat. How many Sefer Torah do you have on Rosh Chodesh Shabbat? Two, right? Shemotzin Shtei Sefer Torah. Im Ein Lev El Sefer Torah Chai. You're in a place there's only one Sefer Torah. Im Mutar Likrot HaMe'orah B'Chumashim Shalanu. Are they allowed to take out Chumashim and read the Maftir? Right? As opposed to doing what?
Rolling the Sefer.
Rolling, right? Tshuva, mutar likrot ha-me'orah b'chumash, right? And he said the proof is that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to read Baal Peh. Chumash is not worse than Baal Peh. Pishon Rish Mechtav Yitai Shalom Ram Baal Peh, Vasu Liglom Nekvar HaTzibur, V'choshken Kan Shekorin Bechtav Shein Golin. So if the Kohen Gadol, who is doing, shall we say, the most extreme violation of this by reading it totally by heart, is allowed to do it, so to not violate Kovar HaTzibur, therefore, here when we're reading from Chumashim, which is not nearly as much of a violation of Baal Peh, certainly we're not going to roll. Ad Kan, right? That's the Rashba. Ve'olam no nahagu ela kesvara rishona. Said, but guess what? The minhag of the world is to not do that. And we do roll, right? And the Magen Avraham here says the reason is that we assume that Tzibur is mochel on their cover, right? Why? Because in the case of the Kohen Gadol, all of Klal Yisrael was there. They're all waiting, and they're not mochel to stand around in the heat on Yom Kippur in the middle of the day when they're starving and stand there while the Kohen Gadol rolls and rolls and the Kohen Gadol himself is old and tired and hungry. So the Red Baal Peh. But said, we typically are going to be mochel. Okay, very nice. Let's figure out what this is all about, and we'll come back to the sugya. I'd like to propose what might be a different understanding about Kriyat HaTorah, what Kriyat HaTorah is, and why all of these rules are players, specifically the rule of reading from the text, specifically the rule about being concerned with the pagam of the Sefer Torah, right? And perhaps even about the rolling and the skipping, all of that.
In order to understand this and really to get a bigger sense of what's going on, I think we need to take a look back at the ketuvim that are at the beginning of the handout, starting with source number one. Source number one describes Moshe Rabbeinu's actions after he leaves the cloud where he got the Mishpatim and before ascending to the top of the mountain to get the rest of the Torah. And Moshe comes out, as you can see in source one, and he tells everybody all the laws that God gave him, doing exactly what they asked him. They said, you go get the rest of the laws, and you come tell us. So he comes out of the cloud and tells them the laws, and they say, Kol ha-divarim asher diber Adonai na'aseh. Everything is dibur. Ha-divarim asher diber, we will do them. Evidently, this was not enough for Moshe, and therefore Vayichtov Moshe, he wrote down exactly those words. Eight called Divrei Adonai. Vashkema Bogav Mizbeach Tachar Ahar, Shem Asher Matzvel, Shem Asher Shiftei Yisrael, and it goes on to describe the korbanot and the brit that Moshe does. And then Pasuk Zayin Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, he takes the Sefer HaBrit. What's the Sefer HaBrit? Is that which he just wrote down, which they had already heard. Vayikra Beozneam, he reads it now, which means he reads the same thing he already told them. Vayomru, and they say, Kol Asher Diber Adonai Na'aseh V'Nishma. Everything that Hashem said, we will do and we will obey. And that evidently is good enough. And from then on, Moshe ascends the mountain, etc. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between Moshe telling them, Ki Tignav V'Divri, and Shalosh Ugalim, etc., and all the Mishpatim, or reading it to them out of a text that he wrote down? What's the difference? So we're going to come to that and circle around, but I want to take you to the end of Sefer Devarim. As Moshe begins the final stages of farewell, he assembles everybody to undergo a brit, the brit recommitment and recovenanting with Hashem. And it starts out with, Atem nitzavim hayom kochem. You are all standing before Hashem. And what's the purpose of all of you standing? Describes all the people who are there, the different stations in life. Le'ovrecha bevrit Adonai levacha. In order to have you pass into the brit. In other words, you stand up for a brit. Okay. Put that aside. In a little later, again, before the farewell, Moshe writes down a Sefer Torah, and then he gives it to the Kohanim B'nai Levi, and who are carrying the Brit, and it's going to be put in the Aron HaBrit, it's going to be put in the Aron HaBrit. So again, Aron HaBrit, the Brit, a written document. And now Moshe commands them and says, Miket Sheva Shanim, V'moed Shnat HaShmitah B'chag HaSukkot, so after the 7 years, the time of Sukkot, right, at the end of Shemitah, V'ochoy Yisrael Alot B'nei Adonai V'achem V'akom HaShe Yivchar, Tikra et HaTorah Zon Neged Ho Yisrael Bo'oznehem. Tikra Bo'oznehem, read it in their ears. Not tell it, but read it in their ears, which means you read out of the text so that they hear it. And you gather everybody, and they will hear, and they will learn, and they will come to fear God. Why is reading from the written text going to ensure that they will be loyal, and they will follow, and they will learn, and all of that? Why not just say it to them orally? Next piece. Circling back to the issue of La'amod Babrit, and this is an allusion more than anything else. At near the end of Sefer Malachim, the last good king that we had, King Melech Yoshiyahu, when they find the Sefer Torah in the Beit HaMikdash, and he recovenants with everybody, and they make a brit, and you just take a look at the last pasuk, Pasuk Gimel, Vayamor HaMelech Al Hamud, again he stands, Vayichrot the brit, makes the brit, Lifnei Adonai, Alechad Achar Adonai, Lishmor Mitzotav, Divrotav, Chukotav, Cholei V'chol Nefesh, Talakim, Divrei HaBrit Hazod, Aktuv Mal Sefer Hazeh. So he makes a brit to follow all of these laws, all of the statutes, etc., Haktuvim ala Sefer Hazeh, which are written in this book. Vayamod kol ha'am babrit, and everybody stands for the brit. Now, vayamod kol ha'am babrit can be two things. It could be that they all stand up to it, which means they all follow it or can commit to it. But it also can be taken literally, and we will see a source that reads it that way, as they stood up for the brit. Okay, and we see that happen again when the famous public Torah reading of Ezra that took place on the first day of the seventh month, Ha'inu Rosh Hashanah, is described in Nehemiah in the beginning of the eighth chapter. Ve'asfu kol am ki shachar el achov shel lifnei shor ha'mayim yomru al ha'izah sofer lavi et sefer ha'torat Moshe asher tzivah Adonai b'nei Yisrael. They had the sefer Torah brought. Ve'avi Ezra ha'kohen et ha'torah lifnei ha'kahal me'ish ve'arisha v'chol mevin lishmua. Everybody's there and he's bringing a sefer Torah out. Again, why does it have to be a sefer Torah? Me'ochad l'chodesh ha'shvi'i. Again, the first day of the seventh month. Ve'ikram bol lifnei ha'chov. He reads from it in front of the plaza and get the description of what happens there, right? And v'oznei chol ha'am el sefer Torah. Everybody's ears are attuned to the sefer Torah, right? And this is, again, a recovenanting that happens, okay? Last little piece to this puzzle. Tanu Rabbanan. This is from the end of the 19th chapter of Masachat Shabbat, which is focused on Milah. It starts out with a description and the machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Akiva, about what things on Shabbat we violate in order to make Milah happen. Famous machloket, machshirei Milah. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamal Omer, so at the end of that parak, we find the brachot of Milah for a regular person, for a ger, for an eved, And in the first part of the Brayta, Amal Omer Hasher Kedushon Tzavet Tzivanu Al Hamilah, Havia Ben Omer Hasher Kedushon Tzavet Tzivanu Lachnisov V'Toshav Avinu, we're familiar with those. And Ha'omdim Omerim, the people who are standing there say, K'shem Sh'nichlas Tabrit Kach Kenes Tatorah L'chubah Masin, we're familiar with those phrases. The Mordechai Ben Hillel Ashkenazi, student of the Maharam, records the following in his comments there. Rabbeinu Meir, that's the Rami Rutenberg, Haya omeid b'sha'at kriyat ha-Torah u'b'sha'at shemalin ha-Tinok. He would stand up during kriyat ha-Torah and whenever they were doing a brit milah. Ve'virayam min ha-pasuk v'yamod kolam b'brit. He brought proof from that pasuk we saw about Yoshiyahu, that they all stood up for the brit. V'yamod min ha-Talmud, he also brought a proof from the Talmud, demar perak rav Elazar d'milah, hamal omer al ha-milah, v'omdim sham omrim k'shem shnechat ha-brit. That the people who are present at the brit are called ha-omdim. That they're standing there. Okay. And I actually understand quite well why you would stand up at a brit, because a brit, a person is being brought into the brit with Hashem, and if part of being part of a brit is to stand up, so we're all standing up because we're all part of this brit process. I would get that. But why Kriyat HaTorah? And this brings us back to our question that we asked about why the phrasing in Masechet Gittin is Dvarim shebichtav yata rishai leomran alpeh, and even odder, dvarim shebalpeh yata rishai leomran bichtav. What does that mean? This means the following. I'd like to suggest that when you have a confirmed, a valid, a powerful statement, and you recite it, it's still coming from you. You're the reciter. You're the source of the information. And even though there may be other people around who heard it from others, and they may have confirmed that this is what they heard, that still you're the source. But when you have the text in front of you, and you're reading from the text, and you're reading every word from the text, and you're not paraphrasing, and you're not skipping, you're not looking around, but you're reading from the text, that means you are nothing more than a conduit for the text. You are bringing Dvar Hashem to the people. It is immutable. And that was what the brit has to be. A brit has to be immutable. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, as much as we trust Moshe Rabbeinu, and as much as we know that he's repeating what Hashem said, when Moshe says it, it's still Dvarim Sheval Peh. When he writes it down, it's now a brit. It's a brit that can be confirmed, that can be tested, that can be checked, that can be reviewed, that can be copied. And that brit, of course, remains in Aron HaBrit, and is used when fulfilling a brit, and therefore, when it's read from, Aram Rundberg says, stand up because you're part of a brit. The reading of the Torah is a recovenanting. And therefore, we understand that there's this emphasis, Oznei kol ha'am el Sefer HaTorah. Everybody's ears are attuned to the Sefer Torah, to hearing what's being read from that Sefer Torah. We now can understand, going back to our sugya, why there is an emphasis on not reading Torah except from the text itself. Because it has to be clear, this is not me. This is me being a conduit for the text. This is me representing the brit to everybody else and presenting it to everybody else. We now understand why you don't skip from thing to thing. Because there's a brit going on. There's a sense to what's going on. There's a flow to what's going on. We also understand why we're concerned with the pgam of a Sefer Torah. I asked earlier, we're concerned about the pgam of a Kohen. I get that. It has an impact on him and on his family, etc. What? Why do we have to be concerned about it? Because if we bring a Sefer Torah out and we read from it, and that's our brit, and then later we cast aspersions on its validity, the whole brit could fall apart. We are very careful about Kvod Sefer Torah because that is the guarantee of the brit. And therefore, we do everything to safeguard the Kvod Sefer Torah. Therefore, we do not read Baal Peh. Therefore, we do not do anything that might raise a question about the validity of the Sefer Torah, like bringing another Sefer Torah to read from. And if we do not skip around, because then it looks like the person is making his own choice about what to read. But Binyan Echad, when it's all one topic, then we can skip because it's all part of the flow. And as we saw in the Yerushalmi, Sidro Shel Yom. This is the order of the day, and therefore, this is what has to be read. This is the brit of Yom Kippur that's being read. And therefore the Kohen Gadol can read part from the text and part Baal Peh. It's all part of the brit of Yom Kippur. So hopefully this gives us a better insight into our sugya, into all the various considerations of Kriyat HaTorah in general, and the ones which come into conflict, and that conflict gets resolved when it comes to Kriyat HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Okay.